enough. But sometimes things happened that made absolutely no sense in the moment, but eventually turned out to be blessings. Maybe you cried before you saw the good in them, but that was hindsight. I figured there were plenty of things in the world that weren't easily explained, but it didn't make them any less real. Like countless beings in existence at that moment. Like every person in this room, if you wanted to be specific, and especially like the small body tucked up against me, which was why I was here. Without the blanket covering the majority of him, Duncan's black coat gave the initial impression that he was a short-haired black dog, and his long ears gave the idea he had some kind of hound in him. But as I tugged the blanket away, inch by inch, the poofy tail that could have belonged on a fox peeked out. And so did the star of this whole shit show. The moment would have called for spirit fingers if our situation wasn't so dire. "He has a flame on the tip of his tail now," I told them, like they couldn't see it with their own eyes. It was one of the two things on Duncan's body that were a dead giveaway that he was no baby basset or bloodhound or even any kind of household pet. Not that he'd ever been, but it hadn't been so noticeable before. You had to have an excellent nose or be sensitive to magic to mistake him for anything else. 6 weeks ago, Duncan's tail had solely been fluffy, and his eyes had been a bright brown. We had known he wasn't what he looked to be. Maddie and Sienna could smell it, and I could sense it. But now it was blatantly obvious, and they hadn't even seen his eyeballs yet. In the span of a single night, he had gone from a believable black puppy with a mixture of breeds and a hint of magic in him to something else. Something undeniable. Unfortunately, from the shocked glint in Maddie's dark brown eyes and the way Sienna's mouth was hanging open even wider than it had after my crappy explanation, it confirmed that any hopes I'd had of Duncan being normal-ish were long gone. Because normal-ish was the most I could ask for. I had crossed every finger and toe on my body in hopes they were going to tell me he was a werewolf. Any kind of mythological wolf creature would have been perfect. Even a Cerberus would have been great. There were a lot of tales about them out there. But a werewolf would have been my first choice if I'd had one. Wolves were some of the most highly revered creatures throughout history. Sometimes even my brain struggled to understand what kind of universe we lived in, that Duncan being one would have made life so much easier. I couldn't even begin to imagine explaining that to someone who didn't know the truth about the beings that roam the planet in plain sight. People could barely tolerate others exactly like them. You tell them that magic crashed into Earth thousands of years ago, and that all the mythology and folklore that had been written about was based on reality, and that would send almost anyone into a fit. There were countless movies and stories, fiction and nonfiction, if you counted history books with mythology in them, about humans that could shapeshift. There were stories about wolf shapeshifters that dated back to Babylonian times. I was pretty sure cultures on every continent had tales of them. I could remember sitting through a class on Aztec history and having to keep a straight face while the professor went on about the symbolism regarding the Aztec believing that some of their warriors were nahuales, shapeshifters. I'd gone through a phase as a teenager where I'd read every werewolf romance I could find, and I knew the truth. What normal people weren't aware of was that there wasn't just one type. Off the top of my head, I could name several types of werewolves. There were the Amarok, a line of massive wolves whose ancestors inspired the Inuit stories. An iron wolf, from those found in Baltic tales. Someone had told me once that there was a rumor even Fenrir, from Norse mythology, had a sacred line still in existence. Most of the ones I'd known and grown up with had been descended from the Mexican wolves who traced their ancestry back to Mesoamerican myths. It was easy now to look back and think all those ancient civilizations had nothing better to do than use their active imaginations to explain things like droughts and terrible storms as the work of beings with good and terrible gifts. But some people knew the truth. They hadn't been making things up. The fact was, in a world of mythological legends that weren't exactly fiction, being a person who could turn back and forth between a man and a wolf, it was their choice after all, and their size depended on their heritage, was a well-accepted concept by those aware of the magic that had permeated the world and its beings a very long time ago. The magic